Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
Happy Monday, I'm Simone, and these are your Sacktown Sports headlines. Despite an electric fourth quarter and OT minutes last night, the Beam team still unable to find that win column, falling 121-115 to the Warriors.
The Warriors get the win to stay 3-0 in the preseason, and the Kings are now 0-3 in the preseason.
Kings will head to San Francisco to square off with the Warriors once again for Wednesday's I-80 matchup. Keep it locked right here to Sacktown Sports so we can get you laced up before then. And over the weekend, no NFL teams remain undefeated as the Jets outmaneuvered the Eagles.
The Jets 20, the Eagles 14. For the first time in Jets history, they beat Philadelphia.
And the Niners stumbled to the Browns 19-17.
Has it away. He has the distance and it is no good. Jake Moody missed the kick and the 49ers lose.
Of course, we're closing up the week six books tonight with Monday Night Football as the Cowboys tangle with the Chargers. Our pregame coverage locks in at 4:30 with kickoff slated for 5:15 right here on Sacktown Sports. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Welcome back in to the Drive, guys.
The only station in Sacramento giving you local sports coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, Sacktown Sports.
Well, that didn't go the way it was supposed to go. You could say that about a handful of things that happened in the NFL yesterday. The 49ers, you know, we spent Kyle Draper most of last week trying to convince ourselves that, hey, maybe this will be a game. And what happens? The 49ers end up suffering their first loss of the year in Cleveland. Were the 49ers beaten? Did they beat themselves? Or was the game taken from them? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. With your help, we'll figure that out today. Whitey Gleason and fresh off his play-by-play last night for the Kings and the Warriors, Kyle Draper.
My man, what is up? So much to get to. I just got off the golf course.
Yeah?
I'm frustrated. I'm angry. You know, I was hoping that being on the course would calm me down from what happened yesterday between the Niners, the Eagles, the Kings. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have a nice day of golf. I'm going to, you know, hit some great tee shots, you know, help my team win. I was awful today. So you're about to feel the wrath of Drapes out here,
right,
people.
Letting
you know I'm on one today.
Well, I got to tell you, Kyle Draper is, he's a straight shooter because yesterday, you know, he texted me when Moody's kick was wide. And as an Eagle fan, perhaps he delighted in that. But then he also texted me hours later with kind of a facepalm emoji. What was it exactly? How about them
Eagles? How about them Eagles?
So,
you know, leave it up to the Philadelphia Eagles to ruin my Monday. Because trust me, I had my trash talk already. I'm just sitting there watching Brock Purdy look so pedestrian, looking at Jake Moody miss field goal after field goal out there. And I'm like, looky, looky. Well, what do we have here? And then a few hours later, the Eagles lay an egg against the Jets. Give the Jets credit. But that, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I turned off the Eagles game because I had to get ready for the Kings game. And so the Eagles were up 14-9, started the second half. And
so
I'm like,
figure in your mind, we probably
good.
Got
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Worst,
we got
yeah.
this. I get to the arena and then somebody's like, yeah, did you hear about the Eagles? I was like, yeah, no, they're good, right? And they lost. I was like, no way. They had never lost to the Jets in the history of football. And then last night, yesterday, when I needed them to win the most, like, that's the one game I needed them to have to enjoy my Monday, they lose.
So. Well, one thing we know, at least, is as badly as Brock Purdy played yesterday, he's better than Jalen Hurts. At least we figured that out.
Nah, I don't think we figured that out. I think, you know, Jalen Hurts did some positive things. He was... First half, he was amazing. Jalen Hurts was good. Two of the three interceptions he threw weren't even his fault. The second one, I think it was the second or the third one. I'm not sure.
His arm got hit.
Yeah, he got hit.
Yeah.
The first one, Dallas Goedert caught the ball and then bobbled it. And
That's
then,
true.
Yeah, and so.
What about the other one?
No, that was a bad throw.
Yeah,
that was a bad throw. And so, you know what? I'll say it like this. Because I'm a realist. And I told you, I'm objective, listeners out there. The Eagles won't go anywhere if Jalen Hurts doesn't play better. He has to play better. He has been, in my opinion, average. He's shown some flashes. Like, he made some tremendous plays, but the mistakes, You can't have that. And so, you know, to not even score any points in the second half, that offense, give the Jets a lot of credit. They have a habit of, you know, making quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, look kind of pedestrian. That Jets defense is for real. But, man, you know, Jalen Hurts just has to be better.
Well, both those quarterbacks, obviously, they didn't help their teams much yesterday. I would say this, the bad throw, the one throw that you admitted yep. was a bad throw by Hurts, that was Jimmy Garoppolo, because it was there was two defenders there. Yeah. That was one of those, like, wait, what did he see there?
Right.
And in the worst possible situation, you know, because it was 3rd and 9, right? So you just incompletion there, you punt, you're probably going to win anyway. But it was just that kind of day yesterday.
In case you didn't know, though, we're in Sacramento, so we don't need to talk about the Eagles game. We're not contractually obligated.
I just wanted to get some of your...
dive into these Niners. What happened to those?
I want to get some of your views.
No, I just, the Eagles, man, I've said it all season long. They just have not played consistent, excellent football. They're nowhere near playing at the level they were last season, and they've been able to get away with it. Through the first 5 weeks, yesterday it came back to bite them, the turnovers, the mistakes. And, you know, the Jets didn't have to do a whole lot offensively. I mean, for the Eagles to score 14 points, that's just unheard of.
I got a problem with Kyle Shanahan. Not only some of the decisions he made, which they didn't work out and they didn't seem like percentage plays in the first place, but I got an issue with the way he set this game up for his team. Aaron Andrews yesterday reported that Kyle Shanahan told the team, this is going to be a tough, grinding, gritty game. Throw out your stats. And really what he should have said was, we're way better than these guys. We're going to destroy them. I think he put in their heads that this is good. We're going to be in it. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter, guys. And I don't know why you would put those thoughts in your team's head. I know that Cleveland is excellent defensively. We saw that. But I think he, especially his young kicker, maybe thought, uh-oh, we're in trouble this week. I don't think Kyle did a good job getting his team ready for that game. And I also didn't think he did a good job coaching that game.
Well, here's the thing, you know, and this is, you know, something they talk about in college basketball, whatever. When you have so much success, when you face adversity, how do you react? And so this was the first time this season that the Niners really were tested, you know, in terms of a late game situation. I thought the Cleveland Browns were the most physical team that the Niners have faced all season long, you know, on both ends of it, you know, the line of scrimmage on offense and defense. And obviously the conditions played a part of it, but I thought the Cleveland Browns, they backed up all their talking. Remember, they were doing a lot of talking about how big of a game they're going to be ready. It'll be a battle. And they brought it outside of that first drive. I mean, this is the worst the Niners have looked in a long time. Like, even before Brock Purdy, he's had some, but this was his worst game as a pro.
At least a year.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so I'm looking at his numbers, 12 of 27, a 4.6 yards per attempt average. That is just, I mean, that's one touchdown, one interception, a 55.3 rating. And so give Cleveland a lot of credit. Clearly the injuries piled up for the Niners. When you lose Debo, you lose CMC, then this offense becomes really average, I think. And, you know, I go back to what I said last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You know, when things are good, Brock Purdy's great. But there will be times when, as we saw yesterday, when you need him to carry the team, and he wasn't able to, I didn't think.
They had some plays to make out there, and he just missed on the throws. Yes. He had McCaffrey for a touchdown and missed him, and I thought it was funny because Greg Olsen said, wow, we haven't seen that from him before. And I realized, I guess he didn't see the Rams game.
Right,
because remember,
he
missed like three of those.
Yeah,
but the 49ers yesterday, were they beaten? Did they beat themselves? Or was the game taken from them? Some 49er fans furious about the officiating. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's talk to Jeff here. Jeff joined us online too. Straper, Gleason, Drive Guys, what's up, Jeff? What happened to the 49ers in that game?
Hey, yeah, guys, good to talk to you. Here's what happened. They totally got screwed on those last two calls by the refs. Totally screwed. Terrible call, the personal foul. The guy didn't even – he hit him in the shoulder, shouldn't have been called. And then there was another call right
after
Ward.
They got Gibson
terrible.
Got called for the Gibson got called for the unsportsmanlike, and then Ward got called for a very questionable. I think it was a hold or a pass interference. Yeah,
exactly. And that would have been 4th and 10 on that, and I think the Niners would have been fine. But those calls essentially put them in the Browns in field goal range, and I think that totally screwed them. Also, though, I thought the reffing was terrible in general yesterday. If you watched the New York Giants game last night with Buffalo, first they called pass interference against Buffalo with Waller in the end on the 1 yard line. It was, but the very last play of the game, it was pass interference again. It was so blatant. It was so clear. I just thought the reffing was terrible yesterday.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, that was a terrible call last night at the end of the game where it was clearly pass interference. And if you're the defensive back and a Giants fan checked in today on the chat and said, great play. If you're the defensive back, Kyle, you hold on there. And if they call PI, okay, we just have another play.
Right, right.
And if they don't call it, you win the game. That's what happened. That actually was the percentage play, and they got away with it.
Yeah, and to the caller's point, I was sitting at home watching football yesterday, and I thought the same thing the caller just said. It's like, man, the officiating is bad around the league today. But I had to remember, I just watched a penalty-filled Niners-Browns game. I mean, those two teams combined, what, for the most penalties and penalty yards of any two teams this season so far. And so I had to think, well, is it just because I'm tainted by watching that game? It feels like, you know, the officials are ruining it. I will say, those two calls against the Niners at the end of that game were awful. The Niners, you know, got robbed on that. But you still had a chance to win.
Still should have won.
Jake Moody still had a very makeable 41-yard field goal. And so you only have yourselves to blame, you know. Sure, the refs, you know, helped the Browns march down the field, get the go-ahead field goal. But you still had time. You still had a chance. You marched down the field. You got the benefit of a holding call. I think it was 3rd and 10. It was a holding call, you know, which was a good call, I thought. And so Brock Purdy got him down the field. But you had a chance to win. And so if we're going to sit here, Niners fans, and cry about the officials, y'all got to take that somewhere else. Because the Niners had a chance to win the game, and they didn't get it done. That's it.
Why didn't the 49ers try to get a little closer before trying that
41-yard field? They thought it was a chip shot.
But they had
41.
Time.
You're at like the 20-something yard line. A missed snap, a fumbled snap, or a fumble or pick or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Like when you march that, when you watch that, let's keep it real, Whitey. You're watching that game. They got it down to about the 23, 24, I think it was. You're thinking, game over, right?
Like, I'm thinking they got a timeout still. They got plenty of time to at least run one more play. And Kyle felt like, no, we're good. They never did use the timeout because they spiked the ball and missed the kick. And he said, well, in case there was a botched snap or something, we wanted to have time.
Yeah.
But if you're 41 yards out, you botched the snap, good luck. I don't know. I just thought, I think he was really intimidated by the Cleveland defense and thought, we don't want to take any more chances.
Yeah, and you might be right. You know, and they were talking about it on the broadcast yesterday during the game, you know, with that Cleveland defensive line. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do hand the ball off, maybe you lose 6 or 7 yards or something like that. And so I felt like Cleveland did their best to give the Niners the game there at the end. Remember that P.J. Walker, that he nearly threw a pick as they were marching down the field. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then they didn't get out of bounds to stop the clock. They throw the ball and, you know, an incomplete pass. So Shanahan doesn't even have to use all his timeouts. And I'm like, the clock management by the Browns and situational management by the Browns, I thought at the end of that game was awful. So they were giving the Niners a chance. And then how about the missed tackles on the Brandon Ayuk completion on the final drive?
Mm-hmm.
Ayuk catches it, you know, looks like a 10, 15-yard pass, and then he runs for another 15.
It's like they were afraid to touch him.
They were afraid to touch him.
I don't want to get caught for a penalty.
I'm like, what are
you
doing?
Hopefully he'll fall over.
I'm like, guys, we're almost there. What are we doing?
Wait. It almost sounds like you were rooting for the Browns.
No. I was just rooting for good football. That's it.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. From injuries to the kicker, all of a sudden the 49ers have issues again. We're right back with that.
Sacramento.
Sacramento's official home for the San Francisco 49ers.
Sactown Sports.
Yeah, with your help, we're making sense of what happened to the Niners yesterday. Today with the Drive, guys. By the way, speaking of football, Sacramento State football back at home this Saturday night for a nationally televised primetime game versus the Montana State Bobcats. Kickoff 7:30. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com. On the text line from CK916, never in their wildest dreams did Niner fans foresee losing to the Browns. A lot of, moody blues coming through the airwaves today. Right. That's pretty good, actually.
You like that, right?
I hadn't thought of that, yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mike joins us on Sacktown Sports. Mike, you're on with Kyle Draper. Buddy Gleason, what's up?
Hey, boys, how are you today?
Good. What's happening?
Hey, you know what? Honestly, we really didn't deserve to win that game yesterday. I thought Cleveland played a more complete game. But, like you said, Kyle, they tried to. We had an opportunity to win the football game, and this is where I am not a big Kyle Shanahan fan, and we kicked the crap out of the Cowboys the week before. But at the end of the first half, with 2 minutes to go, he wasted a minute on the clock, and then he takes a timeout, and then we wind up giving the ball back to the Cowboys. It was only 21-10 at the time. But he wound up wasting a possession and wound up giving the ball back to the Cowboys with a minute to go when they should have never seen any time on the clock. And then yesterday, your field goal kicker missed a 54-yarder. What did he miss it by? A few feet?
Mm-hmm.
And you saw Purdy there. He kept looking over at the sideline on that last drive with, I think it was 39 seconds left, and they had the timeout. It looked like he was going to get the team into a formation to run another play. And he's sitting there looking and looking and looking, and they actually showed Kyle. He didn't know what the hell he wanted to do. And then finally, I think Purdy just spiked the ball on his own.
They were running out of time. You know what was worse than that, in my opinion, Mike, was when they got the ball back before Cleveland kicks the field goal, and there's like 3:25 left. 49ers have the ball, 1-point lead. You run out the clock, you win the game, obviously, and they run the three pass plays, and the Browns get the ball back 25 seconds later.
That was horrible. That was horrible play calling. It's game and situation management.
He does that in big games. Whenever there's a big game, you can always count on him messing something up on a clock management or a time management side, and that's why I'm very critical of him. I don't know if it comes to a Super Bowl, if he's going to screw up something and not, because look, you're right. I had no idea why in the hell they ran the three pass plays, and now you give Cleveland the ball back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Mike. We appreciate your listening. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, that was, here you go from, well, maybe you run out the clock to, nope. I mean, 25 seconds later, the Browns get the ball back.
Yeah, and I just, I understand your belief in your offense and your faith, but you know, the way that game was going, did we really think that the Niners offense would get going all of a sudden? Like, you got to use some clock. You got to eat them some clock, force them to use up their timeouts, whatever you got to do. And to come out with three straight passes, to me, you know, when I watch that game, and maybe I'm wrong, Niners fans, I can't think of one positive aspect. Offense, defense. I thought the defense played okay. It played. But, you know, for the Browns to get, you know, four field goals.
Yeah, they couldn't stop the run.
They couldn't stop the run. And yeah, exactly. And so I thought the Niners lost in every aspect of that game yesterday. Coaching, offense, defense, and special teams.
Here's some good news, as you may have heard. Kyle Shanahan said today, Debo with his shoulder and Trent Williams with his ankle are day-to-day. Williams' injury, the more common ankle sprain and not the high ankle sprain, according to Matt Barrows. And at last check, we still don't have further information on Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, that's potentially the crippling blow. Shanahan did say today, my understanding is that he said today McCaffrey has a rib and oblique injury, not a rib/oblique injury. What he said that's what he said, unless he misspoke, but he said oblique and rib injury, and we're awaiting further information on that.
And that's a game changer, right?
Christian McCaffrey is,
you know, he is the heart and soul of this offense in terms of what they do. They become, in my opinion, a lot more one-dimensional. Who are you going to run back there? Debo? Or are you going to throw him? And he's banged up. And so Elijah Mitchell, I mean, like CMC is in the MVP conversation for a reason. And you lose him. If you're a defensive coordinator, No CMC changes how you prepare for the Niners.
By the way, I don't think there's any question that he's being targeted. And that's Greg Olsen said that. And that's, you know, it's not, are they targeting him or is it just football? They are targeting him and that is football. I mean,
right.
That's the way the game is played.
Like when you say targeting, though, when I hear targeting, I think of cheap shots. I don't know. Are they trying to knock him out the game?
He's getting a lot of this. It's pro football again. But I understand it. But it's going on.
If it was one team and like five players and everybody, but you're talking so every team in the NFL that they face, they're targeting CMC.
I think the last four teams they've played, so someone has gotten a penalty and a fine for what they've done to McCaffrey.
That's football. I don't think it's, you know what? I'm going to go grab his face mask and try to yank. Like, it's hard to stop this guy.
I know. And that's.
I don't think there's no premeditated, you know what, we're going to come in and pull him by his face mask. Like, to me, targeting, you know, like I said, that means cheap shot. And I don't think that's what we're seeing from defenses. I think bring him down by any means necessary might be the mantra.
I would agree with that.
Something like
that.
Whatever
it is that's going on. And again, it's football. I get it. But the 49ers, well, fingers crossed. Hopefully they're not going to be without him for a while. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Matthew joining us. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Hey, you guys. I'm so glad I'm on with you. Drapes, I just got to say, man, my dad's listening right now, and you're one of his favorites, man. You always bring the energy. You get him laughing, and we always need more of that. So
appreciate that.
What's your dad's name?
His name is Marty.
Say hi to Marty.
Marty, my guy. Thanks so much. You're a Drapes guy. You know, I got merchandise that says Drapes guy on it. I might have to send Marty.
Really?
Dude, you're learning more and more about me. But go ahead, man. You didn't call to talk about me. You're talking about these Niners. What you got for me?
Well, if it's all right, I wanted to just make a quick comment about the Kings.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. We were at the game last night, and I had to double check with my wife. We were at the season opener 2 years ago. And, man, we felt like there was more energy and electricity last night in a preseason game. You were there. What did you say? What do you think about the energy? Was that something special or what?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That was ridiculous. You know, I was sitting next to Katie calling the game, obviously, and I would look up at the stands and not just the lower level, the upper level, the balcony level was full. And like somebody said to me, and it might have been this morning or yesterday, it was like game eight of the playoffs between the Warriors and the Kings, you know. And I was sitting next to Katie, and I'm like, this is a preseason game? This is why I came to Sacramento. This fan base, they turned out last night. The energy was great. The game was great, at least early on. The Kings looked great. And so, yeah, it was electric in that building.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks for checking in. Let's see. We'll get one more call in here. And Drapes takes are coming up, by the way.
Yeah.
Kings fans, we got that coming up. Let's talk to Glenn on Sacktown Sports. Glenn, you're on with Drive Guys. How are you today? What's up?
Hi, guys. Doing pretty good. I just had a couple questions. One was about the Eagles season compared to their season last year. I think they're an exceptional football team, and I just think the defenses around the NFL are playing them better.
All right, thank you. What else you got?
That I think that the Niners losing is going to set them on fire.
All right, thank you, Glenn. What did you think of Glenn's comment about the Eagles? Eagles guy.
Oh, because if he's
trying to give him a kind of a backhanded compliment.
Yeah,
almost.
But you know what I see from the Eagles, and this is
interceptions.
But let's not forget, only one of them was his fault, Jalen Hurts. But what I see is a team that's too cool, if you will. Like they know they're good, they know they're great, they know they are going to hopefully make it to the NFC Championship game, compete for a Super Bowl maybe again. And so sometimes they take their foot off the pedal a little bit. Sometimes Jalen Hurts gets a little too loose with the ball, thinking he's Superman and can make whatever play is needed to be made. And sometimes he does. He had a couple of, drive extending plays where he's under pressure. He's being hounded, harassed, and he still is able to throw the ball on a run. And so I think right now, they're so confident that maybe they're not taking their opponents as seriously as they should.
If that's true, it may also be a veteran team. They also know that it's really early and the season's really long.
Yeah, exactly. But, if I'm them, and maybe they didn't watch the scoreboard, But that Niners game was a 10 o'clock game. The Eagles were, you know, a 125 game. Once I see the Niners lose, and I've said this to you, why do you agree? Like, the Eagles and the Niners, they're playing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're for home field advantage. So once I saw the Niners lose, if I'm the Eagles, it's like, all right, let's go. You know, you're not playing against your division, Dallas and all those. You're playing against the Niners. And so that should have given them more, you know, fuel, more inspiration to get it done.
Also, it was a cautionary tale. What happened to the 49ers was like, right. Hey, you're playing the Jets. Right. Don't let this happen to you. And they did. So here we are. Drapes takes, as promised, from last night's game. He had the play-by-play. Another Kings preseason loss. So where are the Kings now? We'll find out. Drapes takes when we come back. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
Happy Monday, I'm Simone, and these are your Sacktown Sports headlines. Despite an electric fourth quarter and OT minutes last night, the Beam team still unable to find that win column, falling 121-115 to the Warriors.
The Warriors get the win to stay 3-0 in the preseason, and the Kings are now 0-3 in the preseason.
Kings will head to San Francisco to square off with the Warriors once again for Wednesday's I-80 matchup. Keep it locked right here to Sacktown Sports so we can get you laced up before then. And over the weekend, no NFL teams remain undefeated as the Jets outmaneuvered the Eagles.
The Jets 20, the Eagles 14. For the first time in Jets history, they beat Philadelphia.
And the Niners stumbled to the Browns 19-17.
Jake has it away. He has the distance, and it is no good. Jake Moody missed the kick, and the 49ers lose.
Of course, we're closing up the Week 6 books tonight with Monday Night Football as the Cowboys tangle with the Chargers. Our pregame coverage locks in at 4:30 with kickoff slated for 5:15 right here on Sacktown Sports. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Welcome back in to the Drive Guys.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
Yeah, the atmosphere was crazy last night at the Golden One. Drapes takes coming up in just a second. Before we get to that, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mitch in New Jersey has been hanging on. Mitch, you're on with the Drive Guys. Thanks for hanging. What's up today?
Thanks for taking my call. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I don't know how the 49ers lost. Even with a great difference, they were playing with a third stringer. I wanted to see DTR.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so deep of a running back. And I'm not saying Purdy deserves to lose his job, but he's no Joe Montana yet. Can we have just seen what Sam Darnold had in the fourth quarter?
Mitch, appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thank you, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch, I mean, you know, you're speaking my language right there, man. You know, I can't even co-sign on this one. Like, I get it, Mitch. Purdy looked awful yesterday. He looked, human, if you will.
Sure.
He looked like he had, trouble throwing the ball yesterday. But I'm not going to say put Sam Darnold in. We're not at that point yet. I mean, like, I get it, Mitch. You know, he didn't play well. But if Kyle Shanahan says he's the real deal, I'm not going to let one bad game where everybody played pretty badly yesterday, I thought, for the Niners in Cleveland. I'm not going to say, told you, time to turn to the backup quarterback. But he was exposed a little bit yesterday, mm-hmm, Whitey. Mm-hmm. He was exposed.
And before we leave off the 49ers and get to the Kings, just one quick point. We talked about this Friday. Jim Schwartz now, the Browns coordinator, head-to-head with Kyle Shanahan as coordinators or head coaches. Jim Schwartz is 8-1.
Wow. That's unbelievable. And, you know, we're going to move on to the Kings. But one last point here. I thought you asked earlier, did the Niners lose the game, the Browns win it, whatever. I think it's a little bit of both. The Niners had their opportunities. How many drops did we see? How many, missed passes did we see from Brock Purdy? And so how many, missed tackles, on the Browns run game did we see? And so the Niners, we talked beforehand about it might just be one of those days. I felt like yesterday was one of those days where nothing could go right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Things looked like they might go right for the Kings, and I know it's just preseason, but still they ended up with another preseason loss. It's time for Drape's takes. He had the call last night on the television.
Yes, yes, and
you
that
don't
was
need
exciting.
Me to tell you did a great right? job.
Right. Well, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that. And I need some intro music for Drape's takes. I may have to get with Jay back there, some local artist or something. We're going to jazz up Drape's takes.
All right.
By the time the season comes around, but
yeah, it's just the preseason.
It's just the preseason, so yeah. I don't want to unveil the heat just yet. But what I will say, one of my biggest takeaways. From yesterday, Chris Duarte got the start, and I know he got banged up. He only played in that first half, but I really liked what I saw from Chris Duarte in that starting unit. And I'm not talking about the offense, because I think the offense will come 5 points on just 2 of 5 shooting, but he was a team best +9, and this was in the first half. And so I think his defensive, what he brings defensively, like, he played great defense, I thought, against Klay Thompson. At times, he was matched up with Kuminga. But I thought he was always in position. He contested every shot. He did a lot of good things. And so he's not fancy. He's not going to be on ESPN. He's not going to go viral with anything. But he is a really solid basketball player. And I would not be surprised, Whitey. This is just my what I see in my opinion. I would not be surprised if we see him starting more this season.
How much would that cost them offensively based on, you know, Herter right now? You don't know if he's going to do what he did last year, but just based on the way he played last year, how much offense would you lose?
And that's the key, right? Because Herter was tremendous last year during the regular season. He was a big reason why they were who they were. Now, if Chris Duarte can give you 80 to 90% of that, that's going to be the key for him. Can he knock down a 3-point shot, open it up? But he gives you more defensively, I think. Now, here's the question, though, if you're Mike Brown, because do you risk losing Kevin Herter if you move him to the bench? And so I'm talking emotionally, mentally. Like, if you're Kevin Herter and you sort of get demoted by going to the bench, how do you react to that, you know? And so Mike Brown has to be a psychologist to an extent. It's not just about X's and O's. It's about, you know, the whole totality of the situation. You put in Chris Duarte, but you might lose Kevin Herter. How does that impact your team as well?
Right. And it could affect the way he plays, even if he says, you know what, I don't like it, but I'm okay with it. But if it affects the way he plays,
right,
then it's still a problem
right.
for
him. I think we all would love to see Kevin Herter get back to being that guy we saw, especially early last season. Having fun out there, knocking down threes, a well-oiled machine with the other four guys out there. It's been a struggle for him so far this preseason. You know, even last night, coming off the bench, he was 3 of 8, 1 of 5 from three-point range. And so
ball doesn't look good coming out of his hand
right now. Yeah, exactly. And so I just, and we've been talking about it, I just want one of those vintage Kevin Herter games where he hits 4 or 5 threes, and everybody's excited. And so he's scuffling right now. He's definitely scuffling right now. My second takeaway is the most valuable bench big player for the Kings is Trey Lyles. He's going to be in the rotation night in and night out. Trey Lyles is Mr. Dependable for Mike Brown. Trey Lyles, I thought, was tremendous last night. 11 points, had a couple of steals as well. Knocked down 3 threes. If he's hitting 3 threes, oh my gosh, you can't keep this guy off the floor. You know, Trey Lyles, you know, we talked about Harrison Barnes' contract, some of the newcomers, but Trey Lyles, bringing him back, might be the best move that Monty McNair made this offseason.
You see him playing more stretch 4 than 5?
I think so. I think, you know,
little small ball center.
Yeah,
maybe.
He played a lot of 5 yesterday, but that was because JaVale McGee was out. And so I would love to see, you know, how Mike Brown uses him. I thought, you know, against the Warriors, you can get away with that small ball 5, especially when Looney's on the bench, because they really don't have a backup center like a Looney kind of 6'10", 6'11", 7-footer that can dominate you on the glass outside of Looney. And so Trey Lyles fits in perfectly, you know, but when you play the Milwaukee Bucks, I don't think you'll see Trey at the 5. But to me, Trey Lyles is a guy that we talk about the rotation. He is firmly in it. He's a top 7 guy, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. How about my guy Colby Jones? He impressed you at all?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I didn't get to see him until second half, obviously, a little late. I thought he looked good in his minutes that were out there. You know, he had a couple of turnovers, though. A couple of times he got caught up in the air. I thought about when watching him, they got him down for one turnover. But, you know, He just looked uncomfortable at times and driving to the basket, like trying to make a decision, and he got caught up in the air. But I like what I saw. But, you know, it's going to be tough for him to get minutes during the regular season. And so, you know, one thing that I was disappointed in from the Kings, because I thought they came out like gangbusters, exactly what Mike Brown wanted to see from the team in the first quarter.
38-point first quarter,
yeah. They did it. 38-25, did a great job defensively, but then they were inconsistent the rest of the way. And so you would think, you would hope that this team understands how they have to play, and obviously you're not going to be locked in like that for a full 48, but outside of that first quarter, you know, I thought the Warriors were able to do what they wanted out there.
Did I imagine this, or did Alex Lynn make a three-pointer?
Yes, he did. Okay, yes, he did.
Wow, I've been watching too much TV today.
2023 NBA. It went so funny about that. I was sitting there watching Alex Lynn warm up, and I'm like, this guy's putting up a lot of threes, but he's shooting them confidently, you know, and that's just the way, that's what they ask of their bigs. Like, if you're going to play for the Sacramento Kings, you got to be able to stretch the floor a little bit so that the defense can respect you, and you don't want to be an offensive limitation and have a team play 5-on-4. And so, yeah, he knocked down a three last night.
Mm-hmm. All right. Drape Steaks for today?
Yeah. Got to get a sponsor. Talk to sales. Got to get sales on this thing. Why, do you know anybody? You know anybody?
We'll talk.
All right.
We'll talk. When we come back, should Duarte be a starter? Is that one of the keys to King's improvement this year? A little bit better defense in the starting lineup. And, of course, we're all over the 49ers. Our question of the day on the Niners, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. 49ers, were they beaten? Did they beat themselves? Was the game taken from them? With the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
Drive Guys with you. Yesterday, Kyle Draper with the call, of course, for the Kings and the Warriors. And I know, Kyle, today you were in a golf tournament, right? A charity Kings organized golf tournament.
Yeah, Phil Oates, one of the minority owners, he puts on a annual golf tournament. And I was out there, and I tell you what, there were some big-time celebrities out there. Outside of me,
yeah,
there was some. My boy Kenny Thomas was out there. Mike Bibby was out there. I played with Alex English.
Really?
The Hall of Fame basketball player. He was out there.
Get him on the show?
We can. Let me know. He said, hey, Kyle, here, take down my number. Anytime you want me to come on, let me know. And so, you know, as we get closer to the season and into the season, we remember Alex English back here as well. He was, an assistant coach, right, with the Kings? Back in the Keith Smart days, I do believe, you know. He has family out here, too, he said, too. So he's always out here, but great guy. Marcus Allen, Norm Nixon. Remember
really?
Norm Nixon of the Lakers?
Yeah. Mr. Deborah Allen.
Yeah, Mr. Deborah Allen, yes. And who else was out here? Cedric the Entertainer, Anthony Anderson. I mean, I could go on and on. There were a lot of celebrities. Carmichael Dave was out there. And so, we were well represented. 1140 was in the house. Yeah.
Great. Well, since you were playing golf, you may not have seen this. And I feel like I should tell you, I don't want you to hear about it somewhere else. Your boy, John Hollinger, today in The Athletic. He, for some reason, decided to write about the bottom 8 teams in the Western Conference. Now, why you would break it down that way, I don't know. I guess tomorrow's the top 8. So, John Hollinger, and he's on record as being in the past very analytics-driven and not necessarily a friend of the Kings.
Right.
So, here's how he breaks it down. 15 in the West, the bottom 8 in the West. 15, Portland Trailblazers. 14, San Antonio Spurs. 13, Houston Rockets. John Hollinger says 12th in the West this year, the Utah Jazz. 11th in the West this year, the Sacramento Kings. John Hollinger has them 39-43 this year. 11th.
What was that
in the
record
West.
He had?
39-43. He says the odds of repeating their injury avoidance from last year unlikely. Second unit looks shaky at best, and will be considerably more exposed if the starters miss actual games. He also says this year's West will be much less forgiving. And he also says a fall all the way to 11th may sound shocking, but these standings are so compressed, it's still only a handful of games away from a top six seed. So that's one thing I'll say, that he's given the Kings some credit. He says, this is the West is very competitive, and it'll be like last year, very tight in there, and you know, someone has to finish 11th. In his view, the Kings are the team most likely to end up there.
Dave, my mom and dad raised me to be respectful. To listen to differing opinions. Just because someone doesn't agree with you and say have the same opinion doesn't mean they're a bad person. So I'm not saying John Hollinger is a bad person. He's well respected in the NBA. But this is just garbage. This is just nonsense. This is once again Sacramento Kings slander that I just won't stand for. You said it before you even announced the results that John Hollinger is an analytics-based guy. So I already knew right from the jump that he wasn't going to give our Sacramento Kings the love they deserve. So what happened last year, John Hollinger? Because your analytics probably had them lower than what they were, and they finished third. Why wouldn't the Kings be an improved team? Sure, the record may not be better, but in terms of continuity, in terms of chemistry, this team should be even better than they were last season. Maybe the record won't indicate that, but to say 39, to say 39, when you got two all-NBA performers, you got an all-rookie first-team player, right there, you got three potential all-stars. Not saying Keegan's going to be that, but maybe in the future he will. Who else, like, why are we saying Minnesota is going to be better than the Kings? Why are we saying the Pelicans are going to be better than the Kings when we know Zion's injury history? One of the reasons why he said the Kings would fall back this year is because the potential of injury. If any of their starters go down, then their depth will be tested. Well, how come you ain't saying it about the Pelicans? How come you ain't saying it about Minnesota? Golden State, all those other teams.
You've pointed out before that Hollinger and some of his analytics brethren are not huge fans of Domas Sabonis.
Yes.
He says he's a three-time All-Star. On the other hand, the postseason laid bare some of his deficiencies as a defender and floor spacer. He also says this is one of the kind of the the thesis of his piece here, if you will, the big picture debate. This team is clearly better than any of the previous 15 years in Sacktown, but is it good enough to start taking big risks with future draft capital? Is there a realistic trade endgame that gives the Kings a top five caliber roster and justifies a damn the torpedoes trade? So he's saying, look, if they get to a point here midway through the season where things aren't where they want it to be, they have the wherewithal, the cap space, where they could go out and try to get a big name player. Is that a smart move for them? Which assumes if they're in that case, that means what they have now is not working.
But go back to what you just said before about the last 15 years. What did he say?
This team is clearly better than any of the previous 15 years in Sacramento.
We just had a 48-win season and a number three seed. And he in his article just said this team is clearly better than that team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Based on, he said, last 15 years. That would include last season. And so John Hollinger is not making sense right now. And I'm telling you, Whitey, you know what? You may have to do this show by yourself when you bring up John Hollinger, because whether it's Hollinger, whether it's Kevin O'Connor, Bleacher Report, these guys just don't know what's going on in Sacramento. They punch some numbers into their tiny MacBook, their computer, and spit it out like dweebs. And I'm telling you, the eye test and the history of these Kings, we just saw them last year, two third-team All-NBA players. If any other team had that kind of success last year, they wouldn't be doing this.
He also has, by the way, 10 Oklahoma City, 9 New Orleans, 8 Dallas Mavericks.
This is killing me, man.
He got
the Mavericks.
Yeah, that's where it gets kind of humorous.
That's what I'm talking about, man. I'm telling you, Sacramento Kings fans, I'm mistaken here. I'm letting my blood boil here. But anytime you hear words from John Hollinger, Kevin O'Connor,
it's Kevin Pelton?
Kevin Pelton, too, because he puts it, like I said, into his computer. Treat those guys like Charlie Brown's teacher on Peanuts. Wah, wah, wah. I don't hear what they're saying because they clearly have no idea why. That's disrespectful, what you just read right there. Dissing the Kings. You said 11th? Did you really say 11th?
He also says, I do expect the Kings to be on the fringes of that race this time around rather than the lofty number three seed of a year ago. So again, and that's what a lot of the analysts are doing when they're downgrading the Kings. They're trying to play a little bit both ways. Like, they're good and they could be in it, but I don't think they're going to be very good this year.
Unbelievable. And these guys get paid to write these kind of things. Uh-huh. That's what's so upsetting about me. And I'm not saying this as a Kings homer. I'm actually being objective. We got two third-team All-NBA players. We got a coach of the year, a first-team All-Rookie. Why would I think, even if everybody else is better, the Kings are who they are? Like, the talent is who they are. And so Fox isn't going to take a step back. Are we thinking Domantas Sabonis is going to take a step back? And so why wouldn't the Kings be either as good or maybe even better? Remember, I said, sure, they won 48 games, but they should have won 52 last year.
Because all these analytics guys think that half the starting lineup's going to be in the hospital by December. Because last year they were pretty healthy.
Right, they were pretty healthy.
And then the bench isn't as good, so blah, blah, blah. But someone has to finish 11th.
You can say that about every single team in the NBA. If they don't have good health, their season won't be the same. That's just obvious.
Yes, yes. It's tough because teams still don't understand, or I should say the analysts don't understand how the Kings did it. And it is. I mean, it's so tight in the West. It's hard to make these predictions. This team's going to be there. This team's going to be there. So it's kind of default. Well, the Kings are still the Kings, right? So they're not going to be as good as these other teams. I think we know better. We'll find out. By the way, should we be at all concerned that they haven't won a preseason game yet?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all.
I'm with you.
Not at all. It's preseason. And as you know, the starters play more minutes during the regular season. The rotations aren't even set yet. Not at all. I'm not
worried. Should we be concerned that the 49ers lost yesterday?
Yes. Yes. You should be sadly like, this season is done.
How much of that 49er loss do you pin on Kyle Shanahan? That's next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.